So if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it really make a noise? We dive into the very quiet MLB lockout news front and much more next on Locked On Cubs.
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. Welcome in to Locked On Cubs. So good to be back with you. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison, at Chicago Cubs PA, at Locked On Cubs on Twitter. Thank you for taking the time each and every AM to make us your first listen of the day. I love to spend the morning with you, and I'm so glad that you love to spend the morning with us as well, because this has been a blast. Engage with us socially. I ask you all the time, but please, please, please do it. At Chicago Cubs PA, at Locked On Cubs. So much fun when we can interact socially like that. This is Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Such great things to get into today. We're going to dive into all of the updates and news and nuggets we have regarding the Major League Baseball lockout, or I guess the better way to put it might be the lack thereof news and updates, because there ain't much going on. Our countdown of the greatest Cubs players to wear each uniform number in the history of the organization continues as well. We're going to wrap that up today, actually. But first, it's part one of a three-part segment that highlights the top 10 prospects within the Cubs organization. We touched upon this a lot last week. Why is this important? Well, let me tell you. We spoke at length about it so much last week because it's a really big priority for Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer in this new regime to not only draft young pitching is what we targeted, but develop it as well. But that goes across the board for young talent. We have said the biggest knock on the Theo and Jed regime was their inability to bring in young arms and grow them within the organization. And Carter Hawkins addressed this from day one at his opening press conference when he was introduced as general manager of your Chicago Cubs and said, it is our priority to ensure that we bring in and draft good young pitching and develop it the way it needs to be developed. Now, that's a twofold thing. So many injuries to the young prospects and the arms last year. Some of those guys we'll get to on this list. Not only do you have to draft them and let them grow within your organization, but you have to keep them healthy. So with all that said, the importance of this, well, hey, we're in a lockout. The major league rosters aren't moving right now, but the minor leagues are carrying on as business as normal, more or less. So we thought we'd take a look at this new baseball prospectus list of the top 10 prospects within the Cubs organization. This is tomorrow, which might be here sooner than we think. We're going to start at number 10 and work our way to number 1. So today, 10, 9, and 8. The number 10 prospect, according to baseball prospectus within the Chicago Cubs organization, is Caleb Killian. Pitcher, right at it. Young arms. Develop, keep them healthy. Draft, draft, draft. Caleb Killian was actually acquired from the Giants in the Chris Bryant deal at the deadline last year. So what's the report on him? Check this out. This is nuts. 10-1 strikeout to walk ratio last year in the minor leagues. 10-1. That is absolutely insane. The report from Baseball's Prospectus kind of reads like this. It says, stuff isn't super dominant. It did tick up last year as the year went on. Improving secondaries that give him a shot at being a rotation piece for the Cubs in the near term. And we've talked at length about that rotation, whether or not they bring in another arm from the market or not could shape this bullpen and the back end of the rotation as well. So this could be very interesting. As for Killian, fastball works mostly average velocity range, although he did show a bit more in short bursts in the AFL this year. Very easy, repeatable delivery. That's huge, right, in terms of avoiding injury for an arm. Fastball shows a bit of a plane given his height, so that's a good thing as well. Post-trade from the Giants organization to here started featuring average mid-80s slider, tight cutter action, tight pitch, and his curve, which was somewhat, according to Baseball Prospectus, slurvy and inconsistent earlier in the year, showed added depth. Some feel for the change as well, they're saying. While nothing stands out, it's a well-rounded mix overall with the arsenal. And he throws enough quality strikes, 10 to 1 strikeout to walk ratio, which is just sensational. Throws enough quality strikes that he profiles as a relatively safe back-end starter. Now, ETA to land in Major League Baseball, potentially 2022, it says. So depending on how things shake out here with the Cubs rotation slash bullpen, free agent market, post-lockout, yada, 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 we could see him up in the bigs in 2022. They have him projected, best case scenario, back into the rotation, starter, fourth or fifth. Number nine prospect within the Cubs organization, Alexander Canario, also came over from the Giants in the Chris Bryant deal. So listen, we were all bummed to see KB go, but look at this. Those two guys that came over from San Francisco, currently now number 10 and number 9th ranked prospect within your entire organization. That's a big deal. Had shoulder surgery in 2020. Didn't appear to see any long-term effects, according to Baseball Prospectus. Still hitting for big-time power when he got wood on the ball. Canario, right fielder by trade. Can't play outfield positions, but right field is his main position. Bat on the ball didn't happen as often as you'd like, however. Big-time bat speed. Easy plus raw power line to line from a rather average looking frame. Loves to swing the bat though. Free swinger to say the least. Will struggle with better fastballs in the zone and expand too often. Can that approach be tweaked? Of course. That's where the mentoring of the young players and the development of the young players that we discuss comes into play. Javi Baez, case in point. Look at his transformation from super, super free swinger to more tame free swinger as his major league career progressed here and now in Detroit. Some semblance of an approach at times, it says, and he'll continue to do damage on contact, but the hit tool is fringy at best, and there's a chance he gets found out even further in the upper minors. Here's the bottom line on Canario. Perfectly fine right fielder, average foot speed, plus arm, but he's going to have to hit like a right fielder to move up the chain. The raw power fits the bill any day of the week, but it remains to be seen if he can get into games against better pitching and hold his own while maintaining his strike zone at the plate. MLB ETA for him, 2024. Keep it rolling back to the pitching side. The number 8 ranked prospect within the entire Cubs organization. And here's a guy we talked about last week because he was a top prospect, top arm that was injured so much. Braylon Marquez. Cubs signed him out of the Dominican Republic in 2015. Made his major league debut in 2020. Was a top 100 name coming into the season on the strength of a power arsenal featuring a fastball that touched triple digits and a nasty swing and miss slider. We all saw it. Given that he did debut at the end of the 2020 season, you'd have guessed that would be the last prospect list that he made. However, he is a pitcher. Well, again, we discussed this at length last week, the health of the top pitching prospects. A shoulder strain cost Marquez all of 2021, so it set him back greatly. Outlook for 2022? Still a bit murky. Here's the deal with Braylon Marquez, a guy that I think we're all stoked to see succeed, hopefully, when healthy, in the Cubs rotation, bullpen, organization as a whole. Significant relief risk, even as a top prospect, given his mechanics and inconsistency with his command and third pitch. Okay. The shoulder issue makes it more likely he's relief only when he does return. Beyond that, given that it's a significant shoulder issue, we'll need to see the stuff all the way back before we're sure he is a late inning reliever in this Cubs pen. So this is a wait and see, fingers crossed for the health and prosperity of a young superpower arm. Got to keep those guys healthy. And with the changes in the organization top to bottom that we highlighted last week in terms of communication across all levels and approach for each player rather than one uniform approach for an entire pitching staff, say we hope that these guys are able to maintain better health in 2022. Our list will continue as the week goes on as we take a look at the number 7th, 6th, and 5th ranked prospects in the entire Cubs organization on our next episode of Locked on Cubs. Updates and news regarding the MLB lockout coming up next, although there might not be as much to report as you would like. Before we get to that point, I want to remind you, it's the new year. Happy 2022, first of all. That means resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit, I highly suggest that you include Built Bar into your approach. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better, but it's good for you. That's right. Most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, which is an insane amount, and dozens of net carbs. So many flavors to choose from, too. You're never going to get tired of them. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, just to name a few. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors as well, just to keep things real. Do me a favor. Go to Built.com. Try Built Bar for yourself. Use code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at Built.com. That's code LOCKED15 at Built.com. Locked on Cubs rolls on. Welcome back into Locked On Cubs. Happy Tuesday to you. It is great to be with you. Thank you for tuning into us every morning. We love it. We do. It means the world to me to have you along. I'm happy to be here for the ride. Locked On Cubs is nothing without you. So thank you for being here. Great show today. We took a look at the top, the 10th, 9th, and 8th ranked prospects in the entire Cubs organization, two of which came over from the Giants in that deal for Chris Bryant at the deadline last year. We're going to get into that list further as the week goes on. You might be wondering what the heck is going on with the game of baseball right now. All has been quiet since the lockout was imposed by the owners on December 2nd. We're over a month now of lockout baseball. So the question I posed in the open, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a noise? There has been nothing going on with the lockout. We don't know really what the deal is. Month in, very little to report, unfortunately, and it's frustrating now as a fan. The negotiation front is supposed to, according to the experts, start to ramp up. Here's the silver lining in all of this. Maybe a touch of good news is the reports have surfaced that this lack of information and lack of discussion from both sides may begin to change. Evan Drellich of The Athletic says this, and I quote, "Major League Baseball is preparing new core economic proposals to deliver to the Players Association. When they're presented, likely this month, core economic talks in the sport will have restarted for the first time since owners initiated a lockout on December 2nd, making this a positive development." Well, what exactly does this mean then? Okay. From a player's standpoint, those economic issues don't figure to be easily resolved. That's why we're in this predicament in the first place. Second of all, they'd like to address a few things. Their shrinking share of those league revenues, which we addressed, indicated in part by the declining average player salary across the board. Also, the occasional practice of service time manipulation, which teams hold back a clearly ready prospect in order to delay free agency and arbitration eligibility for a full year. We saw this with KB. After you bring up a player after X date, then you get that extra year on the back end. Frustrating if you're a player. Frustrating if you're a fan, too. You want to see these guys play. And also the tanking problem, among some other matters. But that's like the player side. And I get that. The tanking problem is a huge issue in baseball. On the flip side, what do the owners want? Well, they're looking to maintain the status quo since the expiring CBA largely worked out to their benefit. And is that going to remain the case? Likely not. One key battleground figures to be over the timelines for the arbitration eligibility. Currently 3 years of MLB service time in almost all instances. So we will probably see that change. Free agency that we talked about with control from an organization to a certain player, currently 6 years of MLB service time. That'll be an issue as well. Layered on top of all of that now is a host of lesser issues that could also prove to be very challenging, the designated hitter in the National League, yada, yada, yada. So there is a lot to get to. Here's the bottom line. January is a big deal. It's a big deal. Here we are now after no worry in December. I preached that proactivity was a good thing. Lock it out beginning of December. Hash this out. Plenty of time to get to spring training. Well, listen, now the calendar's turned. You're into January, well into January, and you're starting to sweat things out a little bit. Business ops in the league are shut down, closed, kaput. This is something that chapped me a little bit that I have to share. If you subscribe to the Cubs email list, which many of you I'm sure do, and they aren't the only team doing this, so I'm not picking on anybody, you got an email stating that spring training tickets will go on sale January 15th, which is next Saturday, so a week from yesterday. This email came out just a couple days ago. Tell me that I'm wrong, but when your league is locked out, you're now threatening to push back the start of spring training and or miss spring training games. And unless talks start to get going here in the near future, your end of March regular season might be in jeopardy. Is this not a bad look to try to peddle tickets to spring training amidst all this? Even though they're not the only club doing so. As a fan, shouldn't I be frustrated? I was a little ticked off. You ask loyal fans to drop their hard-earned coin on games that at this point are unfortunately very much in flex. I just see a problem with that. As a fan of the game, I want things back to normal. I want what's right for the players. And of course, I want the owners to get their share as well, because they're the ones that are, you know, controlling the finances, that are putting the product on the field for all of us to enjoy. Maybe it's not warranted that I'm frustrated, but it just doesn't seem right to me. You're selling a product that isn't on the shelf, so to speak, if that makes any sense. Here's the bottom line, regardless. It's hard to beat cactus ball in March, sitting on the lawn with a cold one. I just hope it happens. And to see the email that spring training tickets were going on sale next week when the league is locked out, as a fan, just kind of felt like a slap in the face. But maybe I'm wrong. We hope we get there sooner rather than later. We will keep you posted on anything we hear in terms of the Major League Baseball lockout and any discussions that take place moving forward, good or bad news. And we all have our fingers crossed, hoping for the best. Our final segment of the greatest Cubs to wear each uniform number in the history of the organization is next. Before we get there, I want to take the time to remind you that BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, 50% welcome bonus. Welcome deposit. Just use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, UFC, boxing, right to all of your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. Locked On Cubs rolls on next. Welcome back in, everybody. This is Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for taking the time to make us your first listen every morning, whether you're going to work or on your way to school. Maybe you're on break still, enjoying the new year at home, getting breakfast ready, getting the kids up, whatever it may be. Thank you for tuning in to us. We are free and available wherever you find your favorite podcast. So please check us out today and download the cast. Also, check out our YouTube page. No, you don't want to sit there and look at me, but you can watch these episodes on YouTube as well if you'd like a little bit something different. So this is the final segment of the show today, the final segment of this several-part series where we have taken a look at the best player to wear each uniform number in the history of the Chicago Cubs. And guess what? Once you get to this point, mid to upper 70s, it gets a little sketchy because outside of spring training, you don't see these numbers. So we only have four players left on these higher-level offensive lineman-type numbers if you're talking football. So here we go. Number 76, Daniel Garibay, the only number 76 in the history of the Cubs. Left-hander worked 30 games with a 6.03 ERA in 2000. Is he the best player to wear that number? Well, by default, he's the only player. How about number 94? You guys remember him, Felix Heredia, another left-hander. 221 games in 4 years, switching from number 49 to number 94 in 2001. Felix Heredia had a pretty good Cubs career when you think back. Name that you probably haven't heard in a while. Number 96, the only player to wear number 96 in the history of the Cubs organization, Bill Voisel, doing so in 1950. He was 0-4 with a 5.79 ERA. Nobody's worn number 96 since 1950. And the only number 99 that we could include on this list is So Taguchi. Do you remember So Taguchi? Todd Huntley wore 99 briefly in 2001, but he switched to number 9. So Taguchi gets the nod. Former Cardinal, obviously a Chicago Cub as well. Great stuff coming at you tomorrow. We're going to continue our prospect list countdown. Also going to dive into some other minor league news and notes and nuggets. Because listen, there's more going on with the minor league side of the game right now than there is the major league side. Awesome special guest as well joining us for Friday's episode. Cannot wait to handle that interview. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we thank you for making us your first listen here on Locked On Cubs every morning. We ask that you make your second listen Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us. Can't wait to talk to you mañana. Until then, be well. This has been Locked On Cubs. See you guys.